email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope joins us in studio fresh from a scammer call from Canada.
Well, now, to be fair, Ray, right. We don't know it was a scammer.
Sorry.
So this could be my last appearance, because this man just phoned me when I was waiting outside and he called from a Canadian number and he was wondering if I wanted to invest in some AI company, and he was guaranteeing me these massive returns. So unfortunately, I recorded a bit of the call, but I had to cut him off because I was coming in. Yes. So he's going to ring me back tomorrow. So fingers crossed, I'm going to invest all of the money I have into this operation, and by the end of the week, I'm going to be a millionaire.
And how much does he want from you?
Well, we didn't get to that point, uh-huh. But I'd say he wants everything I own, and possibly everything my entire family owns. And do you know what's going to happen then? He's going to disappear into the night and I'll never see him again. But the thing is, I oftentimes, and I wouldn't suggest that your listeners do this, but just for my own sport and amusement, anytime I get a call from these scammers, I always record it and I always try and string them along for as long as I possibly can. Just because I figure, okay, well, if I've wasted 5 minutes of this clown's time, it means he's not ringing somebody else for that 5 minutes.
Fair enough.
And then normally what happens is they just get wind that I'm stringing them along, because I'm just asking the dumb questions. Yes. And you know, putting them on hold and saying, I'll be back in a minute. And then they just hang up.
Now, here's the question for you. So he's gone off wherever he is in the world.
Canada.
Right. And does he think now that he has you? Because, see, you stayed on longer than his average caller. Because
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So he's probably going to sleep really well tonight.
Fingers crossed.
Thinking that he has. Does he know your name?
Do you know what? He did know my first name. Right. And they tend to refer to me as Mr. Connor, which is, by the way, how I'd like you to refer to me from now on. Because I'm obviously my number. And of course, the thing is, initially when these calls would come in, you'd start to get a bit worried. Like, jeepers, how do they have my mobile number? So obviously what's happened is my mobile number was on some database somewhere at some point over the last 20 years, and that database was breached or compromised, and it's just doing the rounds on the dark web, and somebody buys it, and as time goes on, the number gets less and less and less and less and less valuable, and all they have is your mobile number. So they cold call you, they offer you this opportunity to invest your money in an AI company or a crypto company or in any class of company, and you know, hope that the idea is that they will get one or two or three people caught in their snare, and that's it.
And where was Pope lost along the way?
Do you know what? It's been lost quite a few times.
Has it? Yeah.
Because, and like, I can't, there's websites you can go to and you can check whether or not your account details have been breached.
Ah,
and right. It'll just say, you know, your password was compromised in a breach of this big tech company in 2015, or in this small breach in 2017. And it documents. I can,
okay. Have you done that for yourself?
I have, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so it has been
compromised. It has, but I mean, there's very little data that they would have that would be in any way sensitive.
Okay. One of our listeners has been on. I got calls from Quebec in the last couple of weeks. I don't know anyone in Quebec. Hung up and blocked the number.
And that's probably the sensible thing to do. So I'm not suggesting that your listeners do what I do.
This is what you do. You're a journalist.
But I do it for sport more than anything else. And sometimes if the scam is particularly novel, or if the guy is particularly skilled, I will get an interesting article out of it, because that's how these things work. You want to document in real time how these scams work, because then you can report on them and hopefully save somebody else a few bucks.
Okay. This came into pricewatch.rte. Connor, I was in Aldi and tried to use a return voucher for €1.10, and apparently they have a 30-day limit on them. So I didn't get my refund from something where I'd bothered to keep the bottle, bothered to bring it back to the shop, and finally actually had time to go in and cash the voucher. The cashier said the same thing happened with one they had from August when it came up as voucher unknown. I thought maybe it was scanning. It wasn't scanning. They entered the code manually though. Can you please reach out to Return and ask them why they have such a short limit on vouchers? Realistically, I'm thinking a year is more than reasonable. What possible reason can they have? It says nowhere that they expire after 30 days.
Well, the good news for this listener, we'll cut to the chase straight away, is I contacted Return late last week and they came back to me within minutes to say, we don't have any expiration date on our vouchers, none whatsoever. So it's not like it's a year, 5 years. If you cash in your bottles today, you can cash in the voucher in 5 years' time. There is no expiration limit on it. So then, because he named Aldi, I contacted Aldi and I said, well, what's the story here? And he actually sent me a copy of the receipt that had been rejected on the basis that it had expired. And Aldi sent me a statement, and it's a short enough statement, so I'll read it. At Aldi, return vouchers can be redeemed at any time and there is no expiry date. We apologise for any confusion and we will ensure that our teams are aware of this correct policy and deliver a simple and user-friendly experience to our customers. We're proud to play our part in supporting and operating the deposit return scheme, which is a key part of helping ensure a more sustainable and circular economic activity. So it was just a mistake.
Okay,
and mistakes happen.
Okay, yes.
And, you know, I would attribute no blame to Aldi as a supermarket, because people are human.
Okay.
And I think when a mistake is made, you say, well, listen, somebody made a mistake, end of story. But they are absolutely right to say that it is a key part of helping to ensure a more sustainable and circular economic activity.
I see last week Karen Dubsky's organisation in their report say that the amount of plastic bottles on the beaches has been reduced by like huge percentage.
Dramatic reductions.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering one thing, because we were talking about this in the meeting this morning and Niamh asked this question and I'm intrigued by it. So say, for example, I go and I get 520 worth of voucher.
Yeah.
Stick it in my pocket, right, and forget about it.
Yeah.
Where does that money go? So I've forgotten about it forever.
Okay. Well,
I never redeem it.
Yeah. It's a non-profit organisation for a start. So the return organisation is not looking to make money. Any money that goes unclaimed is going to be, for want of a better word, recycled within the system to help make the system better. So it's not like some shareholders are profiting from the fact that you haven't cashed in the voucher. So it could be that the money is used to promote the scheme. It could be that the money is used to develop some new bins that we might be talking about in a second. But they, because I asked them that. I mean, there will be a chunk of money that is always unclaimed. It's the same with everything.
Yes.
It's the same with those bus tickets. You know the way in times past before leap cards, if you gave them a euro and the bus fare was 70 cents, instead of giving you change, they'd give you the bus ticket. It's the same with all of that money. The money stays on deposit with them because you might cash it in at any point into the future. So they need to have a chunk of money available
to cover that. Yes.
But they are not making a profit from that money.
And this is a question you may not know the answer to, but so I get my plastic bottles here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
But I always go to the same supermarket to put them through, and then I go and present the voucher to them.
Yeah.
So they're giving me money for bottles that weren't bought in their supermarket.
Sometimes, yeah, that would be the case.
So how is that?
Well, what basically everything is centralized. So they give the money to the return scheme, and then the return scheme gives the money back to them.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if you drop a Lidl bottle into an Aldi shop, you know, because the aim of it is not to collect the bottles with the particular labels on them. The aim of the scheme is to collect a certain type of plastic and a certain type of aluminium can.
Yes, yeah.
And so all of the bottles end up going into the same place.
Yes.
But the idea is that if you get all of the PET PET plastic bottles, you get a much purer supply of plastic, which can be recycled up to 8 times. And also the aluminium cans can be recycled in perpetuity. So that's how that works.
And it's evolving as well, because now they have these new contraptions on bins, so that when people come up, they don't put them in the bins. They actually put them in these surrounding things.
Exactly. Now, I think it's important to say that in February, when the scheme was rolled out, a lot of people were sceptical about it. And there are probably still some people out there who are sceptical. But you mentioned the fact that the Coastal Watch have reported a dramatic decline in the number of bottles washing up on the shores. I've spoken to the people who dredge the Liffey and they've said that there's a dramatic decline in the number of plastic bottles in the water. If you look at the Dublin business company groups, they say there's a dramatic decline in the number of plastic bottles around. So it has worked. 2 million bottles recycled in the first month of the scheme, more than 110 or 115 million bottles recycled in September.
Wow.
So it is working. And in terms of what they're doing, these bins, they've got 80 bins on a trial basis around Dublin City at the moment, and they have these little ridges. So instead of putting your can or your bottle into the bin, you put it on the ridges.
Uh-huh.
And that way, if somebody wants your bottle or wants to recycle your bottle, and let's face it, there's lots of people out there who they need the money, they can take it without having to rummage through the bins.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much, Mr. Connor. Thanks, Niamh, for that. Cormac and Sarah are on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.